This is Ray Milland with a welcome to Hollywood Star Playhouse, brought to you by the Bakers of America. Hollywood Star Playhouse, 30 minutes of mystery, thrills, drama by Hollywood's finest writers, featuring Hollywood's top stars. Brought to you by the Bakers of America through the cooperation of your baker. Hello there, this is Wendell Niles. In a moment, we'll bring you Act One of today's transcribed story, Safari, starring Mr. Ray Milland. You know, it wasn't so long ago that most of our women baked their bread at home. But today, 95% of the many millions of loaves of bread we Americans eat every day, we buy from our bakers. And this is true only because choice, fresh bread is made readily accessible every day in food stores and in supermarkets everywhere in our nation through large-scale methods of baking in plants across America, through fast, modern means of distribution. Yes, baking for the tables of America is a big business. For, aside from bread, who but our bakers could turn out such a varied assortment of delicious bakery foods? So, for variety, convenience, economy, for nutritious good eating, let the bakers of America help you serve better meals through bakery foods. And now, Act One of Safari, starring Mr. Ray Milland.
You hear that? It's a noise for nightmares, the trumpeting of a maddened bull elephant. Immense, crafty, dangerous, able to destroy a man with a single motion, the most frightening sound of the jungle. Sometimes I hear it in my sleep, and I wake in the hot, stuffy tent with cold sweat pouring down my arms. For a moment, I think it's only a dream, that I've nothing to worry about, that Philip Sterling will reach a comfortable old age tramping around the eastern end of Africa. And then suddenly my hand shakes as I put the match to my pipe and there's ice on the back of my neck. I've remembered Gunther Evans and the rogue bull, and I'm afraid. To come on it out of the jungle after a long trek through the bush, Nairobi is almost unbelievable. A bright, neon-lit piece of civilization completely surrounded by the primeval darkness of the blue-green jungle that stretches from the Great Rift Valley to the slopes of Kilimanjaro. To the white hunter, it's the city, the place of beginnings and endings, of the sunrise-lit departures and the payoff at the end of the trek, of the continual futile drinking to forget. Officially, it's my home. Philip Sterling, Safaris to Order, Box 1020, Nairobi, Kenya Colony, British East Africa. I live there, but I don't like it. He was sitting in the bar at the New Stanley Hotel, a big, broad-shouldered hunk of a man with graying hair and a black Teddy Roosevelt mustache. There were three or four other Americans in the room, but I knew that he was my man. I knew from the way he laughed, with his head thrown back and his mouth open like the trumpet of a bull elephant.
Wouldn't you know, we come 10,000 miles to Africa and end up in a bar just like Elizabeth, New Jersey.
Mr. Evans?
Yes, that's right. Yeah, you must be Sterling. Where have you been? I expected you 2 days ago.
Well, I'm sorry.
Well, I've drunk this place dry waiting for you. Didn't you get my cable? Said the 17th.
Well, I was on safari, and there's no timetable in the jungle, Mr. Evans.
All right. Sit down. Forget it. You're here now. We can get going.
Thank you.
Philip Sterling, huh? And I hope you're as reliable as your name. That's why I picture, you know. I'm a great believer in names, Mr. Sterling. Take mine, for example. Gunther Evans. Gon Evans, they call me. That should make me a crack shot. Well, I am.
And you've hunted big game before.
Moose, mountain lion, grizzly bear, that big enough for you?
Well, it depends on the size of the bear, I should think.
not bad at all. I like a man who thinks quick. But don't you worry about me, Sterling. You find the game and I'll shoot it. I've never missed a kill yet.
Well, you're very lucky. I have, many times.
I thought you were a professional hunter.
I am.
Yeah. Oh, this is my wife, Felicia. This is Mr. Sterling, our white hunter.
How do you do?
How do you do, Mrs. Evans?
Mr. Sterling's very handsome, isn't he, Felicia?
Why?
Lean and bronzed, very attractive. Attractive to women, that's what you were thinking, huh? You've been watching him ever since he came in. Why not say so? He might like to hear it.
Gun, please.
Your letter mentioned elephants, Mr. Evans, but I presume you're after a fairly representative bag of trophies. Kudu, waterbuck, antelope...
Don't presume, Mr. Sterling. That's not what I'm paying you for. If I want antelope, I shoot them in Wyoming. I came to Africa for big game. Elephants are the biggest, aren't they?
Unless you'd care to try shooting whales.
All right, I want elephants. And none of those puny representative trophies either. I want a real bull with plenty of tusk. You know, they got one in the museum at home with 200-pound tusks. Well, I've promised them a bigger one.
Now, that's quite an order. Elephants aren't as plentiful as they used to be.
It's your job to turn up game. Can you find it for me or not?
I can find it in the Ngorongoro.
What's that?
Well, it's an extinct volcanic crater on the edge of the Great Rift. It takes a special permit. But it's the best hunting in Africa.
Well, get the permit. I want elephants. I'm willing to pay for them.
Good. But did Mrs. Evans plan to accompany us?
My wife goes where I go.
Ngorongoro is no woman's safari.
Isn't that out of date, Mr. Sterling? I read that there wasn't any danger now, that you traveled by cars and...
Yes, normally. But when you shoot in the salt flats or within a few miles of the so-called roads. But for Ngorongoro, you'll have to trek more than 100 miles on foot. Mostly straight up and down through some of the densest jungle in East Africa.
Then you don't think I should go?
Well, that's not my decision, but I'd advise against it. At best, it'll be uncomfortable. At worst, dangerous. A bull elephant isn't easy game.
Gunn, why don't I wait for you here? I just hold you back. And you know how I feel about killing.
What's the matter this time, Felicia? You see a young lieutenant who appealed to you? Or are you planning to look around after I'm gone?
Gunn.
Or are you just a coward like your father was?
All right, Gunn. I'll go.
She was slender. Almost too thin to be beautiful. With copper-red hair, that fine-spun texture women always claim they can't manage. And pale, luminous skin. Her face seemed to be all eyes. Large, dark, violet pupils set in deep shadows. The eyes of a wounded gazelle who begs for the final bullet that'll put an end to pain. Since the dry season was almost over, I had no trouble getting bearers. I picked an even 24. Coastal Swahilis for 10 boys and the rest Bantus and Wambulus from the Victoria Nyanza region. For elephant trackers, 2 Maasai warriors. Once or twice, I thought I noticed Felicia Evans staring at them as they stood by the campfire leaning on their long-bladed spears, but it may have been my imagination. At any rate, she and Gun Evans seemed to have lapsed into a sullen truce. One of the gun boys had found a baby colubus monkey abandoned by the trail and given it to her for a pet, and she spent most of her time with it, feeding it with an eyedropper and crooning over it as though the thumbless black and white creature were a child. Evans drank and oiled his elephant guns and didn't speak to her until the 5th night. We were camped by a Wambula village on the edge of the Great Rift. There were drums in the village and the black native beer, and our bearers made friends easily.
They seem to be having quite a time.
Well, it's the Ngomo of Thanksgiving. Dance of gratitude for having lived through the dry season.
Why aren't those two there, the tall ones with the spears?
Well, they're Maasai warriors. They don't mix with these tribes.
Felicia. Stirs your blood, doesn't it? Animal and primitive. It excites you, doesn't it, Felicia?
Don't shout so, Gunn. You frighten him.
Why shouldn't I frighten him? I'm a man. He's a monkey. You'd better let me get rid of him before he's old enough to bite. I'll have him made into a purse when we get back to Nairobi, huh? Or maybe a muff. You're always complaining about cold hands. You could use a muff.
No, thank you.
The idea sickens you, doesn't it? Well, that's the trouble with you, Felicia. That's why you'll never make a good hunter. You're afraid of the very thought of killing.
I just don't like to hurt things, that's all.
Except me.
That's not fair, Gunn. I've tried to be the kind of wife you want. Lord knows I've tried, but... Well... We're different.
You bet we are. I'm not a coward, and you are. Why don't you admit it?
I'm going to my tent.
Wait a minute. I want that monkey.
no gun.
I said I want it.
Hold on, Evans.
Get out of my way, Sterling, if you would.
Thank you, Mr. Sterling. Good night.
I thought you were smarter than this, Sterling. I hired you to find elephants. Why didn't you stick to your job?
It's my job to keep order in this camp.
You're forgetting something, Sterling. This is my safari. I'm paying for it.
You pay the bills, Mr. Evans, but I run it.
We'll see about that.
And while I run it, it'll be no violence. It's enough that we shoot game without cause.
Another one, huh? All right. All right. Have it your way. How about a little gin rummy? Shilling a point.
No, thanks.
Scared you'll lose?
Last time I played with a client, I wound up owing him for the safari. So I swore off.
Which makes you a kind of coward, too.
It seems to me, Evans, that most of us are, one way or another. Now, if you don't mind, I think I'll turn in.
Go ahead. Go ahead. I'm sticking for a while. I want to keep an eye on those Maasai warriors of yours. They look pretty shifty.
That's Felicia. Come on.
So it's Felicia now. I wondered why you were in such a hurry to start throwing punches.
Come on. The canvas side of the sleeping tent had been ripped from top to bottom. Black left in the aperture, silhouetted against the night, his green eyes motionless, watching. Felicia was about 6 feet from him in the center of the tent. She'd snatched up a small caliber Winchester 70, but she was paralyzed with terror, her hands frozen to the rifle, unable to fire. And above her head, the frightened monkey screeched in panic. Suddenly, the leopard sprang. Evans threw up his gun and fired. The shot was high, dropping the little monkey from the guy rope. The leopard knocked Felicia to the ground and began to worry her with his paws as a cat toys with a mouse. I knew I had time for only one shot. I bent down and pulled the carcass off her motionless body.
Is she all right?
Yes. She's all right. Just fainted. Hardly even scratched. A lucky shot, though.
Yes, wasn't it?
I guess she'll be upset about the monkey.
She'll get over it.
It's funny. I thought you had a clear target when he sprang.
You know how it is, Sterling. Time like that, man gets confused.
Yes. Yes, I know. Only I thought you never missed.
What makes you so sure I missed?
We'll return for Act Two of Safari, starring Mr. Ray Milland, in just a moment. First, let's look in on a young couple down the street. They've just finished dinner.
Oh, boy. I'm sure tired out tonight.
Think I'll stretch out on the couch for a few minutes, honey?
Oh, sure. Go ahead. Honestly, I don't know what's wrong with Jim. He never wants to go anyplace. Never wants to do anything after dinner. Just sprawls out on the couch and sleeps.
Do you have a man in your house like this? Well, one of the serious causes of exhaustion today in young men, and women too, is simply that they don't eat an adequate breakfast. It's just too much to expect our minds and bodies to function properly and efficiently after 12 or 14 hours without proper food. That's why doctors and nutritionists recommend that you eat a substantial breakfast, and a breakfast that includes two or three slices of enriched bread, plain or toasted. Enriched bread is energy-rich food, and bread is necessary at every meal to help maintain a well-balanced diet. You see, in bread you get lots of good foods in one: flour, milk, shortening, yeast, sugar, and salt. Foods generous in protein and calcium, plus the health-giving vitamins of the B complex. Elements men, women, and children of all ages need in a well-balanced diet to keep them healthy and strong. So, serve your family enriched bread at each meal every day. Because penny for penny, bread supplies more of the things your bodies need more generously than any other food. And now, Act Two of Safari, starring Mr. Ray Milland.
By the next evening, we'd reached the end of the cart track that passes for the government road to Tanganyika, and we're ready to begin the long, tortuous climb through the trackless jungle that lines the 9,000-foot-high escarpment of Ngorongoro. The days were a torture of aching bodies and swarming insects, and the nights a damp, nightmare-filled release. And then at sunset on the fourth day, the rim. A thick gray fog swirled around us. Barely 100 miles south of the equator, yet we shivered inside our heavy coats. Then, quite suddenly, the fog lifted. And spread at our feet was an incredible landscape. A flat crater more than 15 miles across, glowing purple and yellow and red with the wild iris and gladiolus, and ridged with the dark green of the forest that clung to the stream beds. Great herds of game ran free across the plains, zebra, eland, grant and Thompson gazelle, hartbeest, wheeling and turning by the hundreds, by the thousands. This was Ngorongoro, fantastic jewel set in the heart of Africa.
That's quite a sight. But I don't see any elephants.
They're here.
They'd better be.
There were elephants, all right. All around us, feeding on the young growth, moving through the thickets with cat-like silence despite their gigantic bulk. Hundreds of elephants, cows, growing calves, young bulls, but not the heavy old tusker Gunther Evans wanted. At first, he took the hunt with almost boyish enthusiasm. But as the fruitless days of tracking followed one after another, he grew more surly, and our dwindling supply of liquor diminished more rapidly. Hadn't you better go to bed, Evans? You want to get an early start again tomorrow.
Why? What's the difference? You'll never find me a decent elephant. You don't like me, so you won't find me an elephant. Well, all I ask is just one shot at him. Just one shot. I never miss a shot. Stop looking at me like that, Sterling. Accidents can happen, you know. Especially hunting accidents, you ought to know that.
It wouldn't have been an accident.
Wouldn't it? You're wrong, Sterling. I'm a lawyer back home. You didn't know that, did you? Well, I'm a good one, see? Let me tell you, no decent DA would even try to take it to court. Would have been her fault. She had a gun, only she was too scared to shoot. It's not my fault. She's a coward.
You don't much like your wife, do you, Evans?
No. No, I don't. I don't like her one little bit.
Why not?
Because I don't like cowards and I don't like cheats. Does that answer your question?
Are you so sure she's either one?
She's my wife, isn't she?
Is that why you brought her here? Is that why you came on the safari? So there'd be an accident? A fatal one?
You ask too many questions, Sterling. That's why you don't find me an elephant. You're too busy asking questions. But I'll tell you, I've nothing to hide. I'm a decent, law-abiding husband. I've spent a lot of money on this joint, a lot of money bringing Felicia along. Now, I ask you, would I go to all this trouble just to get rid of her? Huh? Would I? Huh? Would I?
Hello, Philip. I was wondering when you'd get tired of the orgy and come back here to your tent.
What is it between you, Felicia? Why does he hate you?
Didn't he tell you? He thinks I'm a coward and a... well, no good. Didn't he tell you that?
Something of the sort. Is it true?
My father was Gunn's business partner. He embezzled money from the firm. When he couldn't pay it back, he jumped off a building. Gunn says that's cowardice, that I inherit the tendency. But I wonder if it could be so easy to kill yourself. What do you think?
I'm not sure. And the rest of it?
Have you ever heard of projection? The need to find your own faults in those closest to you?
Is that it?
You've known me for 3 weeks. What's your opinion?
Well, I'm not sure of that either.
You'd like me to make it easy, wouldn't you, Philip? To run away or make advances. But I'm a woman. I enjoy admiration. I enjoy being chased.
And caught?
Perhaps I'm an elusive quarry. Good night.
Felicia, wait. Be careful. For what he said tonight, I...
Don't worry, Philip. I know all about it. I've known for a long time.
Then why'd you come on the safari? Why'd you come to Africa?
For a silly reason you might never think of. You see, in spite of everything, I'm still in love with my husband. Good night, Philip. Sleep well.
She moved away as silently as a gazelle moving through the reeds at the river's edge. A few minutes later, I fell into a troubled sleep. The sun streaming through my tent opening awakened me, but for a moment I thought I was still dreaming. A grizzled, gray-haired Maasai chieftain was standing on the threshold, leaning on his heavy spear. He wore only a lion skin draped over one shoulder, and heavy brass rings dangled from his earlobes.
Jumbo, Buana.
Jumbo. Habari yasiku niyangi?
Timbo, Buana. Buana, Timbo.
Elephant. Lord Elephant. I hurried into my clothes. I fired a barrage of questions in Swahili at the old warrior. He answered each one slowly and thoughtfully with the careful deliberation befitting a statesman and diplomat whose word is law over 500 square miles of jungle. But by the time Gunther Evans poked his head through the tent flap, I'd heard all I needed to know.
What's the old guy after? A handout? I'm not paying good money to support half the natives in Tanganyika.
Last night, an elephant destroyed a Maasai village, a Bwana elephant, a rogue bull.
A big one?
He says that the tusks drag on the ground when he feeds. 250 pounds of ivory at the very least.
Well, where is this village?
On the outer rim, a half day's trek.
Well, what are we waiting for? Fetch the bearers. I'll wake Felicio.
Wait. Why don't let us stay here, Evans? It'll be a tough trek.
You may be running the safari, Mr. Sterling, but I'll ask you to remember that Felicia is still my wife.
But elephants aren't like other animals, Evans, who run from the guns and fight only when they're cornered. There are hunters among them who kill for sport, and their quarry is a man. And this one's a rogue bull, an old, experienced killer.
My wife goes where I go. You'll take a chance with the rest of us. Oh, I get it. You worried about last night. I was baiting you. Didn't mean a thing.
Didn't it?
All right, I'll make you a deal. I'll take the trackers, you'll stick with Felicia. If she needs protection, you can give it to her. That's fair enough, isn't it?
I guess so.
Remember, Sterling, she's your responsibility. Look out for her.
We reached the ruined village by mid-afternoon. The spur led into the thick jungle, following a path worn smooth as marble by the lumbering feet of the thousands of elephants who had come by this route into the Ngorongoro since the beginning of history. Evans and the Maasai beat the woods on one side of the trail, and Felicia and I took the other. And then, without warning, the rain came. Sudden darkness, a peal of thunder, followed by a steady, drenching downpour. We slogged on for nearly a mile, sinking up to our ankles in the mud. I was about ready to turn back when I heard it. The maddened bull was directly in front of us, his great head lifted toward the sky, trumpeting defiance at the elements. I signaled Felicia to back away before he saw us and unleashed my rifle. She nodded and stepped backward, crashing into a dead branch. I had a clear, head-on shot. I aimed, squeezed the trigger carefully, and... my gun useless. Empty. Tampered with empty. Behind me, I heard Felicia's rifle. Empty. Then the elephant came toward us. I threw myself in front of her, knowing full well that there's no shield against that crushing weight. I remember having time to think that Gun Evans had chosen his weapon well. It wasn't every killer who could wield an elephant. And then the brute was there. I threw the useless rifle in his face and caught him full across the mouth. Paused. Immobile. As his giant 10-foot ears heard another alien sound. Evans had a box seat for the show, atop a neighboring gum tree. My thrown gun had served as comedy relief. The elephant tore out the tree and knocked the big man to the ground. Evans raised his gun as he fell, but his finger froze on the trigger, and his face was a mask of fear as the bull dropped to his knees, slowly and inexorably bringing his tremendous weight down on Gunther Evans. I got to my feet. But Felicia was ahead of me, running toward the bull, slipping past the writhing trunk, grabbing Evans' rifle, pressing its muzzle against the gray, leathery skin, and pulled the trigger. We carried Gun Evans back to the base camp. The journey that had taken half a day took three, picking a careful route through mud and mire. Felicia stayed beside the litter without sleep, but he only regained consciousness once, to moan for water, to press her hand tightly like a wayward child that begs forgiveness.
It's all right, Gunn. Everything's all right now.
Her eyes, when they looked up at me, held no tears. They moved to the gigantic ivory tusks the Maasai trackers were carrying. Then back to Gunn's face. Their expression wasn't the gazelle's anymore, but the cool, firm look of the huntress who returns with trophies from the chase. Felicia Evans wore it proudly.
Ray, that's one of the most thrilling things we ever heard. Thanks.
Say, Wendell, in that thanks department, please don't forget Joan Banks, Paul Freese, and Bill Conrad, who played Gunn Evans.
You said it for me, Ray, and thanks again. We'll hear from our star of next week's Hollywood Star Playhouse, Miss Barbara Stanwyck, right after our Bakers of America home economist, Miss Helen Reed, echoes the famous words of Marie Antoinette, "Let 'em eat cake." Miss Reed?
Thank you, Mr. Niles. When it comes to company or family desserts, you can save time and trouble and money when you simply let 'em eat cake. And, of course, I mean baker's cake. And I have several good reasons for suggesting you rely on baker's cakes for your desserts. You see, whether you buy a frosted layer cake, a plain white or yellow cake, the very popular pound cake, angel food cake, or any of the many, many kinds and sizes of cakes you can buy in your food store, with a baker's cake, you always have the makings of a quick, inexpensive, and delicious dessert. Ice cream is always the ideal companion for cake. Crushed pineapple, crushed strawberries or raspberries, sliced peaches, sliced bananas always go well with cake. Many times a heaping cloud of sweetened whipped cream is all you need to turn plain cake into a deluxe dessert. So when you visit your food store tomorrow, visit the bakery department. Find out for yourself what wonderful cakes you can buy. Then discover what wonderful desserts you can make with a baker's cake.
Well, thank you, Miss Reed. Now, here is the star of next week's thrilling story on Hollywood Star Playhouse, Miss Barbara Stanwyck.
It was music, beautiful, heavenly music, the kind you'd associate with an angel. And yet there was something tragic about it, something horrible, because it was played by a devil. A devil called Mrs. Techie.
Ray Milland can currently be seen in the Paramount picture Something to Live For. Tonight's transcribed story was written for Mr. Milland by Robert Yale Libet. The entire production is under the direction of Jack Johnstone. All characters and incidents were fictitious, and any similarity to actual characters or incidents is purely coincidental. This is Wendell Niles speaking for the Bakers of America, inviting you to be with us again next Sunday for Hollywood Star Playhouse. Enjoy another half hour of fine dramatic entertainment brought to you direct from Hollywood by the Bakers of America, who are helping you serve better meals through bakery foods.
Don't forget, next week on Hollywood Star Playhouse, a story called Mrs. Techie. Our star, Miss Barbara Stanwyck. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.